that if somebody is struggling with an issue, you ought to be so familiar with the Word of God that whatever their issue is, you can go right to it and you can address. You know, I'm amazed that, you know, I got two books. Well, I got one book that's already out. As a matter of fact, I'm going to have a book signing next week. I didn't want to do it last week because it was Easter, and I didn't want to do it today because this is communion. But I just wrote a book, and the book is called Touched by the Breath of God. And this book deals with why we can trust the Word of God.
Welcome to Anchored in Jesus, the teaching ministry of Dr. William R. Glaze, founder of the Pittsburgh Layman's Bible Institute, author, and senior pastor of Bethany Baptist Church. Today, Dr. Glaze will continue his message titled, Armed and Dangerous. So let's join Dr. Glaze for the conclusion of Armed and Dangerous.
So let's not have the same plight that he has. Let's be on about our business. And the missionary couldn't do it. And he went down there, and the man was laying down there with a broken leg. And he had a blanket, and he took that blanket, and he put the man on his back, and he wrapped the blanket around him, and he began to carry the man through the snow. And I mean, he was straining and working so hard that he began to perspire, and his shirt got wet with sweat. And he kept going through the snow and through the cold. And as he went and he saw a monastery with the lights on, and all the while he kept his footing. But at one point, he hit something, and he tripped over it, and he almost fell. And he went back and to look to see what it was that he had tripped over, and it was the monk. He had died because of the cold, and he was laying in the snow, frozen. And somebody asked this guy years later, what do you think about hurting people in the world? He said that people who carry no burden have no purpose. People who carry no burden have no purpose. Do you have a burden? Do you see people that are hurting? You know, I like the song that says, he ain't heavy, he's my brother. He ain't heavy, he's my brother. That the road seems long, and there's many bends in the road. And you're going to be on the road any, you know, as a matter of fact, let me go here. I thought the song was good, right? So I printed a copy of some of the words. But there was one, it says this, it's a long, long road for which there is no return. While we're on the way there, why not share? And the road and the load does not weigh me down at all. He ain't heavy. He's my brother. You see, and the problem is, and maybe the reason that many of us don't feel this desire or we don't feel compelled to help other people is because we're not filled with this goodness. We're not filled with this moral character. We're not filled with this spiritual maturity. We're not filled with this compassion for other people. And I believe that everybody that gets into, we have the biblical counseling program here. Everybody that gets into it has to have a heart for people who are hurting. And there are people around you that are hurting. You know that there are people around you that will not come to Pastor Glaze. There are people around you that will not come to a counselor anywhere. But they'll come to you. And then what do you want to tell them when they come? That you're too heavy for me. I can't carry your load. And God says in his word, that you are competent to counsel. That if somebody is struggling with an issue, you ought to be so familiar with the Word of God that whatever their issue is, you can go right to it and you can address. You know, I'm amazed that, I got two books. Well, I got one book that's already out. As a matter of fact, I'm going to have a book signing next week. I didn't want to do it last week because it was Easter, and I didn't want to do it today because this is communion. But I just wrote a book, and the book is called Touched by the Breath of God. And this book deals with why we can trust the Word of God and why it is that we can stand on the Word of God. You know, the first chapter deals with the fact, why is the Bible a miraculous book? And I go through seven truths to show why the Bible was a miraculous book. At the end of the book, I got a section in there. Why can we trust translations? You know, how do you find a good translation? Well, how can we trust translations? And I poured my heart into this book because I'm so convinced that the Bible is the Word of God and that the Bible contains answers for people to address the issues of life. And I'm amazed that as you read the Bible, all the things that the Bible covers, that there's not a topic you can think about that the Bible doesn't cover, either directly or in principle. The Bible covers everything. And then you get people, and the reason I wrote this book is because I got tired of knuckleheads coming and telling me, well, there's something missing in the Bible. We can't trust the Bible. How do we know? Man corrupted the Bible. Man put this in the Bible. And I go through and I answer all those questions. Man had nothing to do with the Bible. And if something was left out, it wasn't left out because man left it out. It was left out because it wasn't inspired by God. And so I poured my heart into this because I want people, and see, you know, it was funny. Yesterday we had a leadership meeting, and Lorraine put up a human body, and she asked everybody in the meeting to put where you think you fit. All right? And everybody, you know, some people put feet, knees, you know, the heart, some people, you know, put the arms, and I put it in two places. I put it on the head. Only reason I put it there, because I knew people said, well, you pastor, aren't you the head? So I just wanted, I put it there for that reason. But you know where I put it for real? The real place I put it was on the hand. Because I feel that more than being the head of Bethany Baptist Church, God has called me to equip Christians to go out and serve him. God has called me to equip Christians to defend the faith. And that's where my passion is, and that's where my heart. Yeah, I'm the pastor, and I had to put it up there. But if I, you know, I didn't, you know, I wanted, this is where I wanted. I wanted to put it on the hands. And that's why, you know, I wrote this book, because I want to equip Christians to be able to give an answer for the reason of the hope that is within them. And so I've got that book. I got another book coming out. It'll be here tomorrow on premarital counseling. And it's all about scripture. I got a book that's waiting to be published on discipleship. They're using it in the discipleship class right now. I got another one coming out in the fall. And see, God has just burdened my heart. I'm so convinced that this Bible is the Word of God and that we need to know how to use the Word of God to help other people. And that's why God has called us. And if we don't have that heart and we don't have that compassion, then we maybe don't feel, as Paul said here, we don't feel competent to counsel. So the first thing we see is that their hearts were right. Oh, turn to Galatians chapter 6 before I move on. Galatians chapter 6 and verse 1. Galatians chapter 6 and verse 1. All right, I got my second team Bible this morning. Left my main Bible at home. These pages getting stuck together. It says here, Galatians chapter 6 and verse 1. Brethren, now who is that talking to? Everybody, somebody said. Right? Christians, Christian brother. If a man be overtaken in a fault, you who are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. Bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. That was your mandate right there. God has called you that if somebody is struggling, if another brother in the faith is struggling, don't say call the church and make an appointment with my pastor. I mean, I'll meet with him. That's no problem. You know, I have no issue with that. People are relatively surprised how easy it is to get an appointment with me. You know, all you got to do is call. I just say, call the church. They say, you mean, is that easy? Yeah, it's that easy. Just call the church. All right. But I'm saying that you shouldn't tell them to call the church. You should tell them that, look, let's me and you pray about this. And let's see how the two of us can work through this together. Because God has called me in the body of Christ, that if a brother or sister is hurting, God has called me to help you. Now, if I can't help you, then we'll go somewhere else. But let's at least start out here. You know, let's start out here with us getting into scripture, praying, and ask, you know, when you think about Christians and what we have, boy, we got a mean arsenal. We got the Word of God. We got the Spirit of God. And we got prayer. No, if you ask me, those are three powerful weapons. You know, you got the mind of God. You got the mind of God. Somebody want to figure out, well, what does God think? Just read the Bible. That tells you what he thinks. Well, how do I know how to apply it? You got the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit teaches us, and that's why we have classes here. Now, I'm not trying to do commercials, but we got hermeneutics that teaches people how to correctly apply the Bible so that you're not out here bringing up all kinds of crazy doctrines, right? I was teaching hermeneutics the other night, and we were talking about the Mormons and how that there's passages in the Bible that speak of God having wings, Psalm 91. You know, we shall be under his wings and under his feathers, you know. And so they look at passages like that, and they say that we take that literally, you know, that God has wings and feathers, and that God is 6 foot one, right? So they get this, where they get this from? From poor interpretation from the Bible. And so that's why, you know, not only do we want to encourage you to go out and help folk that are hurting, but we want to equip you also to go out. And so he says here that if somebody is overtaken in a fault, you who are spiritual. So I guess the question that needs to be asked, you know, are you spiritual? All right. I would hope that everybody, y'all getting a little quiet there now. Getting a little quiet. Where's Brother Andy Lane at this morning? I preached at a church on Friday night, and there was a bunch of people that listened to the radio program. And they said, man, who is that guy that we hear on that we hear on the radio all the time saying amen? So, you know, you are you spiritual? If you're spiritual, then if a brother is overtaken of a fault, then you who are spiritual, restore him. That's the call. Now, again, I say that, you know, some folk need a little more assistance than what you can give them. And you'll find that out quick, fast, and in a hurry. All right? The second thing we see is not only were their hearts right, but their heads were right. It says that they were filled with all knowledge. This knowledge was more than just a bunch of secular information. It was more than just a bunch of everyday facts. But they understood sound teaching, and they understood the depths of salvation in Jesus Christ. And watch this. They were skillful in applying, and they didn't have the Bible like we have it, okay? But they were skillful in wisdom in applying the principles and precepts to God to, watch this, everyday life. Everyday life. They knew how to, what God had given them, they knew how to take that and use it in everyday life. And so that's why Paul tells them that you are competent to counsel, that you are ready to help somebody else out. Now, I'm going to tell you why some people on this point, and all I'm going to say, and I, you know, as a pastor, I guess I got to say this, is shame on you. All right? That's all I'm going to say. Shame on you if this is your case. Turn to Hebrews chapter 5. Hebrews chapter 5. And in Hebrews chapter 5, look at verse 12. Hebrews chapter 5 and verse 12. For when, for the time you ought to be teachers, you have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and are become such as have need of milk and not strong meat. For everyone that uses milk is is unskillful in the word of righteousness and a babe. How long you been saved? When did you come to Christ? But strong meat belongeth to them that are of full age. Even those who by reason of use have exercised, have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. Can't get around that, saints. So I guess I got to ask the question. Are you sucking on a baby bottle or are you eating a T-bone? Which one are you doing? And we need to realize that maybe, oh my goodness, maybe we are not competent to counsel because we're still drinking milk. And shame on us. If we've been Christians for, I tell you what, you look at Mormons, you look at Jehovah's Witnesses, I guarantee you that most of them are not drinking milk. Now, they might be eating poison steak, but they're eating meat. They're eating meat. And so, man, we need to drop these baby bottles. And we need to start soaking up the Word of God. You know, we need to have, you know, incorporate into our life devotions every day. You know, and I'm not saying you got to come here, but you should be in a Bible study somewhere. Somewhere you ought to be with somebody studying the Bible. Because that's how you grow. And if you're the same right now as you were last year, then you're not growing. And I remember a deacon told me a long time ago, I went to a church and I preached and there was three people in the church. And he came up to me and he said, Reverend, you can see who we have here. He said, and I believe that if something is not growing, it's dying. And I said, well, I didn't want to say that, but since you said it. And we got to ask ourselves, if we're not growing, then we're dying. Then we're dying. And so maybe that's why some people don't feel competent to counsel, because they don't have the right head. They're not growing intellectually in the Word of God. And then finally, we see not only was their hearts right and not only were their heads right, but finally we see their healing was right. Notice what he says here. He says in verse 14, and I myself also am persuaded of you, my brethren, that you are full of goodness, filled with knowledge, and able to admonish one another. The word admonish comes from the Greek word nutheteo, and it means to instruct, to encourage, to counsel, to advise, or to warn. And so you have been equipped to do this. Anybody that's struggling with anything, you have been equipped. You have the right healing. You have nuthetic healing. That's what we call biblical counseling. Biblical counseling is called nuthetic counseling. Why is it called nuthetic counseling? It's called nuthetic because it talks about counseling, warning, instructing, admonishing, encouraging. So wherever anybody, if somebody lost a loved one, then there should be no question. Now, you know, I know that sometimes there's nothing you can say at certain points in time when a person is grieving. There's nothing you can say. And sometimes you got to be like Job's friends. And what got Job's friends into trouble is they sat there for, what, 6 or 7 days, and they didn't really get into trouble until they opened their mouth, right? So you got to know when to talk and know when to be quiet. But I want to let you know this. There will come a time when a person who is grieving will want to talk. Why do they need to go to Pastor Glaze? How come you can't minister to him? He said that you've got it right here. There's people, as I've said before, who will not come to me, who will not go to anybody, but they're going to come to you. People that are having problems with their marriage. And you know, you might sit beside them every day, and they're telling you about their no good wife or their no good husband, right? And you sitting there listening every day. Oh, yeah, you right, child. Now, what you should be doing is doing some nuthetel, right? You ought to be doing some nuthetic counseling. You know, warning, admonishing, encouraging, instructing. You got people every day that's probably sitting beside you on their job. Man, these kids about to drive me crazy. Yeah, child, I know what you're talking about. You should see my kids. They, No, see, Paul said, I am persuaded that you have been filled with goodness and knowledge and are able to encourage one another. Now, I'll tell you, it might be a little rough starting out because they might not want to hear what you got to say. I'm just going to be honest with you. You know, that's why they, you know, and they just want to complain, right? That's all they want to do is complain. But I guarantee you, as sure as I'm standing here, in the midst of their complaint is a hurting heart. Is a hurting heart. And at some point in time, if you just be prayerful and be patient, that the door is going to open up. And then you're going to be able to minister to that person. But if you just, sometimes you got to listen to people vent. There's no question about that. No question about that. You got to listen to them vent. So maybe you need to let your relatives vent. Maybe you need to let the people on your job vent. But at some point in time, just the venting got to end. And you got to come in with some nuthetic counseling. Warning, instructing, encouraging, admonishing, building up. Paul said that you are competent to counsel. So as I close this morning, I included another quote from, I thought I included a quote from John MacArthur, but I didn't. Actually, I did this quote. All right. Conclusion. Believers have been equipped to counsel each other as instructional, spiritual, and emotional needs are manifested in the body. So if somebody needs to be instructed, you're equipped to instruct them. If somebody has a spiritual issue, you have been equipped to deal with that issue. If somebody has an emotional issue, you are equipped to deal with that issue. They have all the weapons of God, the Bible, the Holy Spirit, and prayer. At this point, and I'm going to reiterate this in the conclusion, at this point, it should be acknowledged that problems may arise which will require intervention from a skillfully trained professional. I'm saying that, all right? Other than that, which if you look at that, that's probably less than 5% of people's issues. You know, if you think, I know I'm done. I'm closing up my Bible. I know I'm done. But just think about people's issues, right? Just think about their issues. What is the root of all their issues? Sin. Sin. Some people have medical issues. Some people have genetic issues. No question about that. But I say probably 95% of when people are having a problem, their issue is sin. And so you have been equipped to deal with that. Other than that, mature believers are armed and dangerous and competent to use the word of God to help somebody else out. Now keep in mind, there's all kinds of secular theories. And that's man helping man get better. I don't know how many people I've had come to me that were going to a secular psychologist who said that their psychologist told them that you need to go to the place where you can get instruction in your faith. When a psychologist, a psychiatrist says that, what are they saying? That I'm not equipped to handle your spiritual needs. I'm not equipped to handle your spiritual condition. And you need to go to your house of faith to be able to get what you need from there. Paul said, well, when they come, you are confident to handle their issues.
Thank you for joining us today on Anchored in Jesus. Tune in next time for the first half of Knowing This, How Shall We Live? If you would like to request an audio copy or the notes of today's message, Armed and Dangerous, you can contact us at anchoredinjesus.org and request Armed and Dangerous. That's anchoredinjesus.org and request Armed and Dangerous. Or call us at 877-831-5060. When you visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, you can view many of the other teachings by Dr. Glaze. Dr. Glaze is the author of 6 books. Find out more information about these resources by visiting anchoredinjesus.org or call 877-831-5060. We also invite you to like us on Facebook at Anchored in Jesus Ministries. If you would like to make a financial contribution, please visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, or send it to Anchored at Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, 15206. Once again, that website is anchoredinjesus.org, or you can send your financial contribution to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, 15206. It's through your prayers and gifts that we remain on the air. Our title, Anchored in Jesus, comes from Hebrews chapter 6, verse 19, which lets us know that Jesus is our high priest and an anchor for the soul. As we conclude today's broadcast, let me remind you, you don't have to be tossed in the storms of life. Your soul can be anchored in the Lord.